Welcome, everyone, to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, our theme scripture. Psalm 118, verse 24 says this: "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And what kind of a day is it? Well, verse 21 says this: "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." What kind of day is it? It's the day the Lord has made. What kind of day is that? It's a day of salvation. Hallelujah. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of deliverance. What does salvation mean? Deliverance, healing, prosperity, victory, preservation, wholeness, soundness. It's this whole wonderful picture. It's a day of salvation. And He's our Savior. He's our deliverer. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's our victory. And we taught in Healing Month, talked about He's our Avenger. He's our Avenger. What? He protects and defends us. Hallelujah. He's a just judge of all the earth. What does that mean? Justice. He's our Avenger. Justice. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. See, vengeance is His. So vindication is ours. He will vindicate us. He will defend us. Justice is ours. He will set things right, put things right, and make things right as we seek Him, worship Him, rejoice, and praise Him, because this is the day the Lord has made. It's a day of salvation. Amen? Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. So we've been talking about faith's secret weapon to take new territory. And we started out with the praise cure. And we talked about how to respond to frustration. And then we began to talk about expressions of joy. Expressions of joy. And we talked about the shout, a shout of faith and praise. We talked about laughter, laughing, laughing by faith. When we don't feel like it, just ha, 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 ha. Why? Because we're laughing because God is so good, and we're laughing because the devil's defeated. Amen? And so when the devil lies to us, we just laugh at him. And we laugh because we know the truth of God's word. Right? So laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. And then we talked about being filled with the Spirit, an expression of joy, being filled with the Spirit. And we see Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Psalm 116:11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." And Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says that we are to repent. So times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And the word repent just means to change our thinking and change our action to line up with the word of God, God's way of doing things. Why? So times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And refreshing, the word refreshing means to revive, to cool off, and to recover. To revive, to cool off. It's refreshing. You know, when you get to cool off, when it's really hot and humid out, cool off, refreshing, and recover. And then we started talking about the word rejoicing. And so last time we were together, we were talking about rejoicing. I actually demonstrated rejoicing. Rejoicing is an expression of faith in what God has said He has already done for us in Christ. So one of my questions last time was, how would you act if you just received the dream, the desire of your heart? See, in the world, it's called a happy dance. In the kingdom, it's called rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing affects our whole being, spirit, soul, and body. First Peter 1:8 says that we are believing, We rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, and receive. So there's something we do between the believing and the receiving. And that thing that we do in between the believing and receiving is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. And unspeakable, joy unspeakable just means it's the kind of rejoicing and joy that's beyond words. It's not just going, yeah, I'm happy. There's a demonstration that we're really happy. That we're excited. We're thrilled. That we actually believe what God said, even though we don't see it. We see it on the inside. We see it with the eye of faith. Even though we might not be experiencing it, we choose to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. And I demonstrated that last time. And it's full of glory. And the word glory means heavy with everything good. Heavy with everything good. The glory of God. And it's manifested and demonstrated in a number of different ways. It can be manifested as when the cloud came down. It can be manifested in fire. It can be manifested just in the sweet presence of the Lord. It can be manifested in a number of different ways. But it's heavy with everything good. It's translated riches, wealth, abundance, and honor. It's His splendor. It's His manifested, God's manifested presence. And then let's go ahead and we'll pick up Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33 and verse 11. Jeremiah 33 and verse 11 says this, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return, as at the first, says the Lord." Now, I have this in 6 different translations. So I'm going to read this. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. Excuse me. Amplified Classic reads this way. I'll read the whole thing, and then for the rest of them, I'm just gonna pick on some highlights. Because we've already read it once, we'll read it a second time. Amplified says this way. "For there shall be heard the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring sacrifices of thanksgiving into the house of the Lord. Give praise and thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy and kindness and steadfast love endure forever." God says, "I will cause the captives of the land to be reversed and returned, to be as it was at first, says the Lord." So I want you to see what he's trying to get across to us. Not just what he's specifically saying to them, but how does this apply to us? How do the principles apply to us today? The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. Right? The voice of those who sing. See, so this can apply to us just as well as it applied to them. And he said, we're bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving. You know what a sacrifice of thanksgiving is? We don't feel like it, and it costs us something. We may not feel like singing and praising and thanking God, but it's a sacrifice, meaning it's going to cost us something. Generally speaking, it means that we don't feel like it, but we make ourselves do it. Because it's the right thing to do. It's an expression of faith. We tell our flesh to shut up. We're going to do this. Because Jesus said this, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. So our spirit wants to do it, but our flesh is going to just always kind of drag its feet. So we just need to tell it to shut up and do it. Amen? Does that make sense? And he said, it's The ones who bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the ones who give praise and thanks to the Lord of hosts, he said, I will cause a reversal and a return. The message says this. Those, he says, I hear laughter and celebration. Laughter and celebration. When we give place to laughter and celebration, proclaiming, thank God of the angel armies, he is good, for his love never quits. So as we bring this offering of praise into his presence, God said, I will restore everything that was lost and make everything as good as new. Hallelujah. The NIV says it this way. The sounds of joy and gladness, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. God said, I will restore the fortunes as they were before. The NABRE translation says this. The song of joy and the song of gladness. God said, I will restore the fortunes of this land as they were in the beginning. The Voice translation says, the sounds of laughter and joy, singing, give thanks to the eternal commander of heavenly armies, for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. And all of this will happen because, he says, I will restore the riches of this land to what they once were. The GNT, Good News Translation, says, the shouts of gladness and joy. God says this, I will make this land as prosperous as it was before. And the TLB, the Living Bible, says this, and I will make this land happier and more prosperous than it has ever been before. So let me put all these together. He says, when there's the voice, our voice, your and my voice, when we give our voice to the, make it a voice of joy and a voice of gladness, when there's laughter and celebration, the sounds of joy and gladness, a song of joy and a song of gladness, shouts of gladness and joy. Do you hear how these are all expressions that we've been talking about, the expressions of joy, shouts and songs and laughter and praise. It's all these expressions. He says, when there's a sound of laughter and joy, the shout of gladness and joy, in praising and thanking God, the sacrifice of praise, this rejoicing in him, he says, I will cause. God said, I will cause things to be reversed and return. A restoration. To make it as good as new. Causing a restoration of fortunes, finances, as they were in the beginning. He says, and I will restore the riches to what they once were. But not just that. As prosperous as it was before, and not just that. Happier and more prosperous than it's ever been. In other words, it's better and better and better because our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us, and yet they're tied to our rejoicing. They're tied to our praise and our singing and rejoicing and celebrating and our joyful gladness in God. It's not automatic. God's will is not automatic. He has a will. He has a plan for us. He's already said he's thought and planned the plans, but it's not automatic. He needs our cooperation. He needs us to work together with him. And so today I want to talk about the word reaping. Rejoicing creates a desired result. That's what we were just reading. Jeremiah 33:11. Our rejoicing creates and causes a desired result. Let me say it this way. Rejoicing causes us to reap the desired result. Amen? Rejoicing causes us to reap a desired result. Why? Because rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith in what God has said He has already done for us in Christ. It's an expression that we actually believe what God said, what He's already done for us, that we actually, Lord, we actually believe Your great and precious promises. We're not choosing to believe them until, we're not waiting to believe them until after they happen. See, we don't need to believe it, then we'll know it. Believing is a before act. Knowing is an after fact. Believing is what we do first. And faith and rejoicing is an expression of faith, because we choose to believe that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent, but what he said he'll do, he will do in your life, in my life, in our lives. Amen? So I want to talk about, again, just kind of refresh us on if rejoicing is an expression of faith, what's faith? Again, let's just touch base on what is faith? What is faith? Mark 11, 22. Mark chapter 11, and verse 22, Jesus answered and said to his disciples, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Some translations, it can be translated, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. Have faith in him. Trust in him. Mark 11, 22. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, that whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. And just as a reminder, we see this. Whoever says will have whatever they say. See the beginning of the verse 23? It says, whoever says, the end of the verse says, will have whatever he says. Whatever we say, whoever says will have whatever they say. And remember the Lord speaking to Brother Hagin said, did you notice that the word say is in there three times and the word believe is in there once? And he said, no. So he went to his Bible, he opened it up and read it. Whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done or come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Huh, look at that. Three times. And the Lord said, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as the believing part, because why? My children are believers, so they're primarily not missing it in the believing part. It's this part here. You have to teach three times as much on the saying part in order for them to get it. So again, these three words say, we will have what we say that we believe in our heart. Some people think that this is just saying you can have what you say, you can just have what you can say. No. It doesn't say you can have what you say. It says you can have what you say if you believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Why? Because all things are possible to them that believe, and with God all things are possible. So there's this working together with Him. We must be believed. We must be persuaded, fully convinced. And so the first say, the first Greek word translated say is to speak, tell, or command. In other words, it's an authority word. It's an authority word. Whoever will say to this mountain, whoever will tell the mountain, whoever will command the mountain, be removed and be cast in the midst of the sea. So that's why we talk to our body. That's why if our body is not lining up with the Word of God, we talk to it. We tell it. Line up with the Word of God. And if there's sickness and pain or something, we tell it to go. Get off of my body. Why? Because I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Why? Because Jesus sent his word. God says he sent his word and healed me. That's why. So we get to talk to our body. Tell it, command it what to do. Tell the money to come. Tell the debt to be gone. Be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. Amen? We talk to things. Tell it. Jesus just talked to the tree the day before. They came back, and it's dead. And Peter goes, what are you doing? What's going on here? Look at, Master, the tree you talked to is dead. Dried up from the roots. And Jesus said, have faith in God. And whoever will say to the mountain, he talked to the tree, and now he's telling him we can talk to the mountain. The mountain representing any obstacle in our lives, anything in our lives that we don't want to be there. Anything that's standing between us and the promises of God. We get to talk to it. Tell it. Command it. Be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. See, the sea is big enough to receive the mountain. Our instruction is not to cast the mountain in our neighbor's yard. Right? Just roll over. And no, we don't want it in the neighbor's yard. We don't just want it to be out of our way. Be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, because the sea has the capacity to receive it, to dissolve it, to break it down, and it'll never come back again. So the issue is not just to move it out of the way, it's to get rid of it forever in the midst of the sea. Amen? So to speak, to tell, to command it, it's our exercising our God-given authority in the name of Jesus. The second word, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will be done. The second word is the word lego. That's not how the Greeks would say it, but that's how it's spelled, lego. That's like the name of the toy. And it means to lay forth a systematic set discourse. What does that mean? It means to build line upon line. I mean, a systematic set discord, line upon line, step by step, okay? What does that mean? It means it's building. We're building something. We're creating something. We're designing something. There's this system that is in operation, step by step. So we're building something. We are assembling something. And then the third say is actually the exact same word as the first one, to tell, to say, and to command, the authority word. So Mark 11:23 basically says this, with that understanding of those three words, it says we must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass, is being built and assembled, and we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and telling. Right? So we exercise our authority and we command, and then we begin to speak to build and create and assemble what we want. Healing, health, wholeness, prosperity, debt, freedom, deliverance, peace, rest, wisdom, whatever it might be. We believe that we're building and assembling that, and we shall have what we said, what we're commanding, and what we're telling. Does that mean it happens automatically? That, the way it's phrased, means it does not happen instantly. Sometimes it does. Sometimes the whole process can be shrunk. But generally speaking, we say, we build, and we shall have. Shall have. So don't get discouraged if you don't see results the first day, the second day, the third day, because we're building something, we're creating something, and we shall have what we say. Amen? So, Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Just a reminder what is faith. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 6. Says that the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, and who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, first of all, the word is near us, even in our heart and in our mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is our answer, and it's as close as our mouth. It's as close as our words. Amen? You understand that? The word of God is our answer, and it's as close as our mouth and our heart. Connecting our mouth and our heart, what we believe and what we say, the answer is that close. It's not like if I can just go to heaven and get hear from Jesus, or if I can just have Jesus come down here and talk to me here, give me the answer. No. He said that's not the way it works. The way it works is God sent his word. The word is our answer. See, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and then he moved to heaven. He sent us the Holy Spirit and gave us, who authored this word. And so now the word is our answer, and it's very near. We just need to believe it and say it. Believe it and speak it. Sozo, salvation, being saved, is a result of what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart. That's how we got born again. That's how we got delivered. That's the word. The Greek word sozo is translated saved. And the word saved means saved, healed, delivered, whole. Right? This is the word saved. The word salvation is the Greek word soterion. It means salvation, deliverance, rescued, preservation, healed, healthy, whole, victory, prosperity. So, sozo, or being saved in every area, whatever area we need saving, is a result of what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart, which is based on the word of God. So then we see in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth a confession is made unto salvation. He's giving us a key here. So I'm just reminding us what we've been going through. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart we believe unto righteousness. The word righteousness means right. The word righteousness means just or justice. So with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. When we choose to believe the word of God, it makes that promise that we believe our legal right. So it's legally ours already, but the moment we believe it is when it legally becomes ours, when we receive it. Okay? This whole book, these great and precious promises, are to us. Blood bought by the precious blood of Jesus. These are covenant words. But they don't actually become ours personally until we choose to believe it in our heart. The moment we believe it with our heart, they become legally ours. We take hold of them. We take ownership of them. Maybe that's another better way to say that. We take ownership of them. But now taking ownership or having them legally ours still doesn't mean that we have it. It's just ours. It's like having the paperwork. But having the paperwork is not the new car, just the paperwork. We need the paperwork to go get the license plate. We need the paperwork to get the insurance, but you can't drive the paperwork. Right? So how do you, you got to get the car. Well, you get the car because you got the paperwork. So it's not, the end is not the paperwork. That's the ownership part. Now it's time to go receive and enjoy what's ours. And so, how do we do that? We do that by what he said here. With the mouth, confession is made unto. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto healing and health and prosperity and victory, deliverance, protection. With the mouth, confession is made unto. This is how we get to the salvation destination. With the words of our mouth. This is how we get to the salvation destination. Or we can say it this way. This is how we draw or take hold of and pull to us. This is how we get in contact and get connected and begin to obtain what we believe is ours. What's legally ours. Amen? All right. So, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, making it legally ours. With the mouth confession is made, which actually takes us to that destination and brings the result to us. So, rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith. What does that mean? It means that we are to speak and declare God's word, his promises for our life. We choose to get excited and getting our whole being involved. Because we believe what God said. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression of our believing what God said and then choosing to just, whoo, rejoice, get excited about it. Now, it doesn't have to be loud. It usually is. Okay, I demonstrated that. I mean, it was loud. But it doesn't have to be. For example, I can rejoice in bed with my wife beside me. I just kind of wiggle a little bit, and I just go, you know, because I don't want to wake her up. Or if I get up early and getting ready for work and everyone else is sleeping, I can be downstairs, and I can just rejoice. I can just kind of dance and go, yeah, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I don't wake anyone up, okay? So rejoicing doesn't have to be loud. It just tends to get that way, especially if we're not trying to respect someone's sleep, or if we're sitting on the bus, you know. I mean, you just may want to control ourselves a little bit. But we can smile and just go, yeah, hallelujah, glory to God. Right? So it doesn't have to be loud. And I guess on the one hand, personality can have something to play here, because which means that some people it's more easy to rejoice. It's more easily to just be woo excited and wild than others. But this is rejoicing is not a personality command. It's not a personality command. So it may be easier for others, but rejoicing is not a personality command. So it's something we choose to do. It's something, part of the word that we choose to obey. So let's go ahead and just take a little journey through the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Because Philippians, the word rejoice is used a pile of times. We're actually only going to read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're only going to read 8 of them. But it's used more. Philippians was written, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, wrote Philippians, the book, to the Philippian church, while he was in jail. So the situation and circumstance he found himself in was not the best situation or circumstance. And yet he wrote this. And he talked about rejoicing. It's funny, if you remember Joseph, when he was in jail, and the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, no, the butcher and the, yeah, the, the baker and the wine taster. They were in the jail, and one day Joseph came in and he saw that their expression, they were sad and they were kind of down, and he goes, "What? What are you so down for?" You know, and people would think, well, we're in jail. I mean, isn't that enough just to be depressed? We're in jail. No, but that's not what Joseph's attitude was. It's not Joseph's attitude. He's going, well, listen, what are you so sad for? Right? So sometimes we think some things have to be the way they are, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can be full of joy in jail. We can rejoice in jail. We can rejoice in hard situations and circumstances. And that's what we've been talking about. How do we reap the will of God, the plan of God, the blessings of the Lord in our life when it doesn't seem like it's there, when it doesn't seem like it's available, when it just seems so far away? Rejoice, 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 because we believe God. Rejoicing is an expression of faith. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's just start out with this one. 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I mean, the word rejoice is in there twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, how often is that? That's like always. Just rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Just in case we didn't get it the first time. He just said, listen, I'm just going to say it again. Rejoice. You know, just in case you missed it, rejoice. That's what he says. So let's go back to verse chapter 1. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. He says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Well, what is he talking about? Well, verse 12 says this, but I want you to know, brethren, or family, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren, or the family of God in the Lord, have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. In other words, he's saying, listen, in jail, in persecution, and in negative press, I will rejoice. As a matter of fact, I will rejoice, I'll rejoice. I'll rejoice. Twice. He just said, I'll rejoice. It doesn't matter what people are saying about me. He says, I'm not bothered by that. In jail, in persecution, negative press, I just choose to rejoice. Chapter 2. Verses 16 to 18. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Can you hear that? He said again, twice. Three times in three verses. 16. I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Verse 17. I am glad and rejoice. Verse 18. I am glad and rejoice. You may be glad and rejoice. Rejoice in three verses back to back. Rejoice. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren or family, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. I am not going to get very self-conscious about telling you to rejoice, 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 and just write the same thing over to you, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Why? Because it's a safe thing. You keep hearing me say the same thing, you'll understand I haven't changed. God hasn't changed. He's saying the same thing. Rejoice. Rejoice. Glory to God. Chapter 3, verse 3. Just a couple verses down, says, For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We're what? We're the circumcision. He says, we're talking about the Jews. He says, this is who we are. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So when he says, I'm rejoicing, rejoicing is about who our eyes are on. Rejoicing is about who our eyes are on. Can you say that? I rejoice in Christ Jesus, and I have no confidence in the flesh. My eyes are on Him. People may fail us. People may not be nice to us. People may disappoint us. People. But He said, my confidence is not in people. My eyes are on the Lord. I rejoice in Christ, and I have no confidence in the flesh. Now, as people proven to, and are faithful, I mean, we can have confidence in them, but we still don't have confidence beyond. You know, our confidence, we can only have so much confidence in people, because under pressure, people will still. Peter said, I'll die for you. And it wasn't even 6, 12, 8 hours later. He's denied him, Jesus, 3 times. I'll die with you. And when it got to that point, it's like, no, I don't think I'd want to. You know what I'm saying? See, I mean, so we don't have this overestimated confidence in people. He said, we have our eyes on the Lord. We rejoice because our eyes are on the Lord. We rejoice is about who our eyes are on. Chapter 4, verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished. Again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at the last your care for me has flourished again. He says, you just lacked opportunity. What's he talking about? He says he's rejoicing. His rejoicing brought the money in. His rejoicing brought the money in. He says, you lacked opportunity, but I'm rejoicing because your care for me, an offering has come. A provision, a supply, an offering has come. Rejoicing has brought the money in. So, in closing, I just want to make this statement one more time. You know what? We're going to do 3 more verses. Rejoice is an expression of faith, and faith is for everyone, and it's impossible to please God without it. And we're all supposed to live a life that pleases God. So rejoicing is an expression of faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith, and each and every one of us are created to please Him. In other words, we're all to please Him. We're all to walk in faith. So let's quickly just read these 3 verses. Psalm 67, because we're talking about reaping. We're talking about reaping. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. So let me just tie things up with these 3 verses. These 3 verses. Rejoicing will cause us to reap. What did I say? Rejoicing causes us to reap the desired result. Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6 says this, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. What? He says, well, let's praise you. Let all the people praise you, Lord, and the earth shall then yield her increase, and God will bless us. Let all the people praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. Praise causes us to reap. Hallelujah. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Verse 5 says this, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. How do we reap? We reap with joy. But we first of all have to sow. And so however we sow, we can sow gladly, we can sow tears. I mean, sometimes sowing becomes, it becomes an act of faith because there's not much to sow. There's not much left. So we're sowing. He says sow in tears, but we can sow gladly too. But it's first something needs to be sown, but how do we reap? How do we increase? We reap with joy. We reap with joy. So there's this rejoicing that causes us to reap. There's this rejoicing that causes a release. There's this rejoicing that causes us to reap our desired result. So, as we shout, laugh, and rejoice, God is working good on our behalf. The WE translation says this, "The Lord will give you a new start and make you very glad." I'll tell you, our best days are ahead of us. Amen? The Lord will give us a new start, a fresh new year, to get fresh new glorious things. Amen? And then we'll close with Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 says this, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud." That Hebrew word cry aloud means rejoice. Cry aloud. It doesn't mean to cry and whine. It means to shout. Rejoice. Rejoice aloud, out loud. "You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Now, how is that possible? How is it possible that more is with the woman who has not travailed and given birth? How can she have more than the woman who's married and has travailed and given birth? He says here, this is how you do it. Sing. Sing, O barren one. Sing, O barren one. Sing. When it looks like there's a wilderness in front of us, when it looks like there's a desert before us, Scripture tells us that God has, He has what? He has a road for us to go in the wilderness, and He has a rivers for us in the desert. A road and rivers. So if we're desolate, if we're barren, if it seems like there's a wilderness and it seems like there is a desert, what is our instruction? Sing. 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 Break forth into singing and rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Verse 2, rejoice. "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of the dwelling, of your dwellings." So enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Like King James, you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. Rejoice. Rejoice. What will rejoicing do? Rejoicing will cause us to reap. Rejoicing will cause us to break forth on the right hand and on the left, cause us to expand to the right, expand to the left. It'll cause us to increase, cause us to expand, cause us to break forth on the right hand and on the left. So as we're talking about rejoice. Rejoicing is an expression of faith. Rejoicing is an expression of faith, and it causes us to reap a desired result, which is the great and precious promises that we are personally standing on. So, make it your choice, make it your choose, and make it your desire to rejoice in the Lord always. That includes this week. God bless. Talk to you again.